Chapter 13, The Great Kings of France, Charles the Hammer. After the Islamic army invaded Spain, they didn't want to stop. The Muslim fighters planned to charge right up into France and conquer the kingdom of the Franks as well. "We are like a mighty wind," they boasted. "No one can stop the wind when it blows, and no one can stop the armies of Allah." But then the wind met a hammer. The hammer was Charles Martel, the new king of the Franks. Charles had a hard time becoming king. Not everyone wanted him to inherit the throne. He was even thrown in jail to keep him from claiming the crown. But Charles escaped from jail. He gathered together an army, and he led his men into battle against his enemies. He fought so hard and he was so persistent in hammering the armies of his foes that he gained the nickname Martel, which in the language of the Franks meant the hammer. He won the throne of the Franks through sheer determination, and he didn't intend to give it up to the Islamic Empire. When he heard that the Islamic armies had blown through Spain and were approaching his borders, he gathered his men together and went to meet them. The Franks and the Muslims met at the city of Tours. Here is how one medieval Arab chronicler described the battle. When the Muslims came into the land of the Franks, they passed through it like a desolating storm. They laid waste the country and took captives without number. All the Franks trembled at the terrible army. They ran to their King Charles and told him that the Muslims were making havoc in their land. "Be of good cheer," the king told them, and he got on his horse and led a numberless host of soldiers toward the city of Tours. Now the troops of the Muslims were camped outside the walls of the city of Tours. They had gathered so much wealth and food and clothing and horses and gold that they were weighed down with spoils. Their general looked over the camp. "My men are not ready to fight," he thought. "They are more worried about their plunder than about the coming battle. I should order them to abandon everything except their scimitars and their war horses." But he was afraid that his soldiers would revolt against him if he ordered them to give up their booty. So he decided to let them keep it. And when they insisted that they were ready to attack the city of Tours and to steal from it all of the wonderful riches inside, he agreed, even though he knew that Charles, the king of the Franks, was approaching with a great army to defend it. So the army of the Muslims prepared to attack the city walls. But as they were besieging it, Charles himself came into sight with his army behind him. The horsemen of Islam charged out to meet him, and the two armies fought all day until night came and they could no longer see each other. As soon as the gray light of dawn came, they began to fight again. But when the Muslims saw that Charles was coming closer and closer to their tents, they began to think of all the wealth inside. "The Franks will plunder our camp," they cried. "We will lose our wealth." And instead of fighting, they rode back to protect their tents. Their general tried to rally them back to the front lines, but he was surrounded by Franks and killed. And when he fell, the whole host fled before their foes. The Franks had won the day, and Charles Martel had hammered his enemies once again. The Greatest King, Charlemagne. Clovis, the first ruler of the Frankish Empire, was a great king. Charles Martel, also known as Charles the Hammer, was an even greater king. But Charles's grandson, also named Charles, was the greatest Frankish king of all. In the Middle Ages, many people thought he was the greatest king in the whole world. He became known as Charles the Great, in Latin, Charlemagne. Charlemagne was worried about his kingdom. He was afraid that the Franks were beginning to return to their old barbarian ways. They were forgetting about Christianity. They weren't going to church or having their children baptized. And the children weren't taught to read and write. So Charlemagne set out to make his kingdom prosperous and Christian. He paid hundreds of monks to copy out manuscripts of the scriptures. He built new roads and bridges so that teachers and priests could travel easily through the land of the Franks. He put a famous monk named Alcuin in charge of starting schools for boys all over the kingdom, and he tried to make the Franks cleaner and more civilized. He taught them better ways to farm. He ordered them to bring their children to church, And he even scolded them for treading grapes into wine with their dirty bare feet. But most of all, Charlemagne fought wars. He spent 30 years fighting wars to make his kingdom bigger. He led his soldiers into battle himself, brandishing his great golden sword Joyeuse over his head. And when he won, he was ruthless. He forced his prisoners to be baptized as Christians or die. Charlemagne's kingdom grew and grew. He fixed up old crumbling Roman roads so that they ran all through his new empire. He ordered new bridges and churches built, and he told his builders to copy the Roman arches and columns in his new buildings. By the time Charlemagne was as old as your grandfather, he ruled over an empire that contained Roman buildings, Roman roads, and almost half of the land that used to belong to Rome. One Christmas, when he was almost 60, Charlemagne traveled to Rome to visit the Pope. On Christmas morning, he put on the clothes that a wealthy Roman man would wear and went to the Church of St. Peter for the Christmas service. He knelt down in front of the altar to pray. Suddenly, the Pope took out a golden crown covered with glittering jewels and placed it on Charlemagne's head. "You are the great and peace-bringing emperor of the Romans," he declared. And the whole congregation shouted out, "Hail to Charles, crowned by God, the great and peace-bringing emperor of the Romans!" Of course, the Roman Empire had fallen apart long ago. But people still remembered that the Roman emperors had made the ancient world safe for a little while. They remembered that Rome had been a rich, comfortable empire. They remembered the Pax Romana, the peace that the Roman rulers kept all through their territory. And they hoped that Charlemagne would bring this same peace and wealth to the medieval world. Charlemagne was a great ruler, but his empire was never as powerful as the ancient empire of Rome. And although he wanted to be as educated and civilized as Julius Caesar and the other emperors of Rome, Charlemagne had never been taught how to read and write properly. He hired teachers to show him how to make his letters. Until he was an old man, he kept a writing tablet under his pillow. Whenever he woke up at night, he would sit up in bed and practice making letters on his tablet. But he never really learned to write. As a matter of fact, you probably write better than Charlemagne, Charles the Great, the Roman Emperor of the Middle Ages.